Let's listen.
We hear the phrase gospel thrown around a lot today. It describes a certain style of music. Oh, that's gospel music, we'll say. And then when you want to emphasize that you're telling the truth, you might say something along the lines of, listen, man, it's the gospel truth. So we hear this phrase a lot, but do we really understand what it means? I think that the very word gospel has lost its meaning in contemporary culture today. I don't personally think most Americans have heard the message of the gospel. Sometimes even in the church, though, we use the phrase a lot, do we understand what it really is? What exactly is the gospel? The gospel is the message that all mankind is separated from God because of their sin. The result of this sin is we have a hole in our life and our heart. We have an ever-present guilt and a fear of death. But God loved us so much, He sent His Son to die in our place and to pay the price for every sin we have ever committed. That's the essential gospel message. Now, what must I do to respond to it and be forgiven of my sins? Or to put it more succinctly, what must I do to be saved? For the answer to that, let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 28. These are the words of our Lord as He issues an invitation to all of mankind. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. From an expanded Greek translation, it sounds like this. Jesus speaking, come here to me, all of you who are growing weary to the point of exhaustion and have been loaded with burdens and are bending beneath their weight. I alone will cause you to cease from your labor and take away your burdens and refresh you with rest. So let's consider now what Jesus is saying. Here is the invitation, how we can be saved. Number one, we must come to Him. Number two, we must take His yoke upon us. I'll define that in a moment. First, I must come to Him. The gospel message needs to be proclaimed, and people need to be invited to come to Jesus Christ. So we say to the person, after we've declared it to him, told him about the death of Christ on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, His payment for all of the sins they've ever committed, and clearly pointed out that they are sinners in need of a Savior, we then say, would you like to come to Jesus Christ right now? Person might say, well, I'm not good enough. Well, no one's good enough. But you see, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, I still have some problems and some sins. You know what? Just come with your problems and your sins to Christ. Be willing to turn from that sin and put your faith in Him. Revelation 3:20 is a great verse to quote. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. We're calling them to believe. John 3:16, Jesus says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Scripture tells us, for as many as received Him, He gave them the power to become sons of God. So we have to help them understand what the gospel is and tell them, invite them to a relationship with Christ. You must come to Jesus. You must believe in Jesus. Now, here's an interesting little twist. Follow me on this, if you would. I don't think a lot of people understand what it is to believe. And there'll be people today who will say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but there's never been a change in their life. And that brings us to point number two. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Now, this would be understood by the people of this day, but is largely lost on us. I mean, take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? Well, of course, you know, a yoke is a steering device. It would be used to direct the oxen who are pulling your plow or your cart or your wagon or whatever. And so you steered the oxen with the cart. If Jesus were to make the statement today, He would probably say something along the lines of, give me the steering wheel of your life. And that's very important because being in the driver's seat speaks of control. You know, some people want to be in control of their own lives. They even have a bumper sticker on their car. You know, God is my co-pilot. That's nice, but you know, God doesn't want to be your co-pilot. Frankly, God doesn't even want you in the cockpit, okay? He wants control. So what I am teaching or what I'm saying to a person is, to believe in Jesus is to not only put your faith and trust in Him, but it's to give Him the control of your life. To say receive Jesus as Savior, but not necessarily as Lord, is not theologically correct. He is Savior and Lord. If He is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Control, that's what Christ wants. A lot of us don't want to give it up. You know, I don't know about you, but I am the worst backseat driver on earth. If you ever drive me anywhere, I will torment you. Because I'll say, hey, you know what? Get in this lane. That lane's open. Go in that lane. Go. Get over now. Hurry, speed up. Get past this guy. You know, I'm always doing that. I just can't help myself. And my wife knows it at this point. And, you know, she'll just say, you drive. Even if we're going to drive, you know, from the market to the house 3 minutes, she'll say, you drive. Because, you know, I'm always trying to direct everything. But becoming a Christian is turning the steering wheel of your life over to Christ. It's not only putting your faith and trust in Him, but listen to this. It's turning from your sin. In short, it means to repent. Repent. Repent is to change your direction. Acts 3:19. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, to the listening crowd that wanted to believe, said, repent and turn to God and your sins will be wiped out and the times of refreshing will come from the Lord. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to our God will abundantly pardon. Listen, belief and repentance are like two sides of the same coin. To believe is to take hold of something. To repent is to let go of something. Paul pulled them together in Acts 20:21 when he said he had been testifying to Jews and Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's my concern. I think there's a lot of people running around today who say they believe in Jesus who have no idea what it means. They think it's mere intellectual assent, i.e. they think it's a simple recognition of the fact that Christ died on the cross, paid the price of the wrongs that they've done, and they say, I believe that. I believe in Jesus. They also believe Elvis is still alive. Wait a second. It doesn't just mean that you believe the facts and you accept the premise or even choose to a certain degree, try to follow the creed. It means that you are committing yourself to the person of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You're putting your complete faith and trust in Him and Him alone, and you're letting go of your sin, and you're turning from it, and you're repenting of it. And I think there's a lot of people out there who have never repented of their sin. They were living in sin when they came to Christ, and they're still living in that same sin now that they've come to Christ. But meanwhile, they're saying, well, I'm saved because I believe. Wait a second. Belief involves repentance. And if you have not repented, then you have not believed in the biblical sense yet. You see what I mean when I say a lot of people haven't heard the gospel? They have this watered-down version. Well, all I heard I had to do was just believe and ask Him in, and I did. And it's so cool because we're going to get drunk this weekend and, you know, I'm going to have sex with this girl I'm not married to, but oh, praise God, we'll see you at church Sunday. Hello, newsflash, repent. You can't live that way without consequences. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And there must be fruit or results in your life after you've come to Christ. I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect because all of us are still going to sin. But there's a big difference between sinning and being sorry for it and wanting to change, and a person who never changed their behavior or pattern. In essence, a person who has never technically believed in the way that the Bible uses the word belief and repentance. Repentance is a change of mind, but it's also a change in behavior. It means to change the direction of your life. After Jonah's reluctant but powerful warning to Nineveh, we read in Jonah 3:10, God saw their deeds and they turned from their wicked way, and God relented concerning the calamity He declared He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. You see, as Jesus said, they brought forth fruit in keeping with repentance in Luke 3:8. The recognition of personal sin must always be the first step in repentance, But to only do that is useless at best and dangerous at worst. You recognize your sin, but then you turn from it. You have to act on it. Paul pulled it all together for us in the book of Acts, chapter 26. When he talked about this commission God had given to him, he said, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, to receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those that are sanctified. So Paul's breaking it down. He says, here's what happens when you come to Christ. First, your eyes are open. And you all remember when that happened to you. Maybe you were in church, or you had a crusade, or in a conversation with someone, or listening to a radio broadcast, or watching a TV program, or reading some Christian literature. But whatever it was, as you were exposed to the gospel, the lights went on. Your eyes were open, and you, for the first time, you said, I get it. I get it. I'm a sinner. I need Christ. That's step number one. But it doesn't stop there. Because there are people that will say, I agree with everything you're saying, but they've never acted on it. Then, step number two, you have to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So you have to say, I see this is what I need to do. Now I'm going to believe in Jesus, and I'm going to turn from my sin, and I'm going to make this choice to follow Him. Often when I conclude my evangelistic messages, I'll just sum it up this way. I'll even sometimes preface these remarks with this statement. If you haven't heard anything else I've said, hear what I'm about to say. If you want to get right with God, if you want to go to heaven when you die, here's what you need to know. Number one, you've sinned. Recognize that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us have broken God's commandments. Number two, recognize that Christ died on the cross for you. He died in your place because there was no other way for you to satisfy the righteous demands of a holy God you have offended. Number three, you need to repent of your sin because God has commanded people everywhere to repent. And number four, you need to receive Jesus Christ into your heart as Savior and Lord. I always will go over those points, and then I'll often say, and you need to do it now. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And I recognize when a person hears the gospel and does not respond to it, their heart can get a little bit harder. And they'll hear it again and their heart will get even harder. As the scripture says, he who is often reproved hardens his heart and he will be cut off, and that without remedy. The scripture also says, harden not your heart if you can hear his voice. So the idea is we need to impress upon the listener, upon the person we're speaking to, you need to respond because this is an either-or proposition. To not say yes to Jesus is to say no to Jesus. Would you like to come to Christ right now? This is the gospel message. Point number three, Jesus says, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that a person has received Christ into their life, there needs to be changes. They need to grow. They need to learn of him. And I always look for fruit. The only way to know if conversion has happened is not if they walk down in a field or raise their hand or even pray a prayer with you individually. The proof is in the pudding. And time will tell if the conversion is real. And you must pray that that will happen. Now in closing, as I've talked about how to proclaim the gospel, let me just say for any of you that have joined us, maybe you've heard this for the first time. Maybe you thought you knew the gospel, but you really didn't. You'd heard the good news part about heaven and forgiveness and fulfillment and purpose. You knew Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again from the dead. You've always accepted and believed those things. And even in a sense, you've said you believe in Jesus, but here's where it's broken down for you. You never repented of your sin. And maybe you've been doing something you know is wrong before God. The Bible clearly says it. You've never sought to make that change. You've never sought to turn from that sin. And you've been wondering why your Christian life just isn't working. You've been wondering why it doesn't seem to be taking for you. Can I just be really blunt? Because you haven't done it right. You haven't met the requirements, you see. And the requirements are, you need to turn from that sin and put your complete faith in Jesus. And there might be some of you that have been coming to our church for months, maybe even years, who have never actually responded appropriately to the gospel message. And you'd like to do that today, and you can. You can say, Lord, I am sorry for that sin, and I do turn from it. And I want to give the steering wheel of my life to you. I want you to be in control, Lord. I don't want to be in the cockpit anymore. I want you to guide and direct me into the life you've called me to live. Would you like to do that? In a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you've never really asked Christ to be your Savior and your Lord, to respond and receive the forgiveness that only He can offer. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word. Thank you that it's true. It's changed our lives. But there may be some here that need to respond to it. Some here, Lord, that have never actually turned from that sin. They've never understood what it meant to believe in you. Help them, Lord, to come to you today and receive your forgiveness. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
My love.